97.9 FM, WCHL, and the UNC College of Journalism and Mass Communication presents Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examinations of issues of overarching importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions to problems in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the UNC campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, recruiting in college sports. Our guest, Coach Jimmy Adams, a retired basketball coach who has worked in high school and in major college programs such as the University of Memphis and Ole Miss. And Joe Giglio, a sports writer at the News and Observer who covers recruiting. Joe, let's start with you. I think most people's concept of what goes on in the recruiting process, they learn from the movie The Blind Side. Is that an accurate portrayal, or what is it that we don't know?
In general, I don't think you can go by a movie because I think, obviously, the real coaches appeared in that movie, too, so I think they're glossed up a little bit. Football in particular, it's kind of a crazy setup because they get these early commitments, but they don't mean a whole lot until the players actually sign. So, there's a lot going on right up until that signing day in February, even after a guy commits.
And Jimmy, you've been on both sides of the equation, having your athletes recruited and then recruiting athletes. Which side did you like better and why?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've had 44 years in the basketball business, and as you say, on both sides, recruiting's tough. It's a business, and it's the lifeblood of any program, and you have to really work at it every day. And it's tough. If you're a college coach, getting that right player that fits in with the team, that has the skill, you always question, is he athletic enough? Can he play more than one position? Is he skilled enough for our league? Where do we see him a year from now once we get him? Can we improve him? Or is he a one-and-done kind of kid and we don't have a chance to get him? Do we recruit locally or branch out and try to go into somebody else's territory and beat them on a good kid? And it's kind of what you got to sell. You know, it's a business, and you're a salesman, and you're selling what you got, and you hope a kid wants to buy it.
Joe, when it comes down to the sales part of it, if you get beat too many times, you're out of business. If you don't get the right kid or you do get the wrong kid, what are the major challenges?
I think you have to have your own system, I think. You have to be able to evaluate players, not based on what you think, not what a scouting service says. So I think you hit the nail on the head there when you said the right players. You look over at NC State and some of the players that they've brought in, they're not four-star or five-star guys. Russell Wilson was a three-star recruit. Yeah, and only really Duke was the only other school that wanted them. So sometimes, you can hit on a major player without really understanding what you have. So you have to be able to develop them, too.
And Russell Wilson, as we know, led his team to the NFL championship. So, Jimmy, why are there so many under-recruited players? And what happens with the players who are heavily recruited who turn out to be busts?
Well, Charlie, I go back to the days when there were very few rules in recruiting. Your recruiter could go out and spend every day in high school gyms watching kids play and looking for that diamond in the rough. And there weren't many scouting services available. There certainly wasn't the internet available. And it was more a word of mouth, get a phone call, have some contact somewhere in an area, and go sit in a gym and try to recruit a kid, and you'll have six or eight other assistant coaches sitting there watching the same kid if he's good. And so I go back to that day, and then I go to the modern day where there's the internet, so many people out looking at kids and scouting services and references. And so it's hard to overlook a kid these days. He's been so scrutinized through AAU and here and there that everybody pretty much knows the same kids, and they go to these camps, All-American camps, and first one place another where they're showcased. And so the really top recruits, top 100, top 200, are known by everybody. And you pretty well know who's going to get whom, you know, because Duke's going to get their share, North Carolina's going to get their share, Indiana and Kentucky and Florida, and those schools are going to knock off the top ones. And then you have to try to pick one up somewhere or another. If you're a VCU, you try to get a great kid that somebody overlooked, you know, and he plays up and you get a team full of him, you have a chance to win a championship. So it's the rich get richer and the poor just hope they can get somebody to fall in their lap.
Hmm. And Joe, one of the craziest stories I've heard recently, I think it was about a year ago, I read eighth grader offered college scholarship. I mean, how soon does the recruiting process start for a talented middle school player?
It certainly happens in basketball way before in football. You know, there's all kinds of examples of players who were offered at, you know, eighth grade and ninth grade, and they change so much, especially if it's a guard who doesn't grow. You know, Tyler Lewis at NC State right now was in seventh grade when he was first offered his first scholarship. So, you know, it's a guessing game, but it's also some of it is, you know, hey, we were there first. I think that's a big part of recruiting for some coaches is to try to get in real early and to say, you mentioned before how some of the top teams come in and get a guy late. Well, you know, one of the best chances some of the other teams that aren't on the same national level have is to say, hey, we were the first ones here. We were the ones who identified you. And sometimes that works.
We'll return to our discussion of recruiting in college sports right after this.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion of recruiting in college sports. Our guests are Coach Jimmy Adams and Joe Giglio. Joe, the star system, you read an article about recruiting and almost always the player's name is followed by a five-star recruit from Spokane or a four-star recruit from Abilene or whatever. How does that star system even work?
I often ask the guys who put the stars next to them how they come up with it. Because, you know, what's the difference? I mean, you could probably tell what a five-star guy is, and the statistics have shown they don't miss on the five-star guys. What they miss on is a guy like Russell Wilson, who they overlook, or Aaron Curry, who was at Wake Forest a couple of years ago. He was a two-star guy, turned out to be the third pick in the draft, led Wake Forest to the ACC title in football. Those are the guys they miss out on more. The really good guys, the five-star guys, you know, I've been to some of these tournaments, particularly in basketball, and you can see it. It's pretty obvious who you know, Andrew Wiggins and Julius Randle and, you know, those type of players. They're pretty easy to pick out.
Jimmy, we have Rivals, Scout, et cetera, et cetera. 20 years ago, I don't remember outfits like that even existing. How big has recruiting become?
Oh, listen, it's grown by leaps and bounds. Bob Gibbons might have been the first one I was familiar with. He published an all-star report over there in North Carolina, and Bob was the guru for a long time, and then Boo Williams came along in Virginia there, and then it just exploded. You had the BC camps down in Georgia, and you had Garfinkel's camp up in New York, and there were just a few venues for that you could go and watch talented players play against other talented players and get a report from the camp. But now it's just gone completely crazy with the internet and Rivals and Scout and ESPN and all the scouting reports that are online. Hoop Scoop, Cade Scope, I can't name them all. There's a million of them. And even now JUCO reports where they report on JUCO players that are coming out that missed the mark the first go around. So it's just exploded. Now the information is out there in so many different ways, and coaches have so many ways to track kids and what's developing in their recruiting. And it's pretty scientific now.
And, Joe, obviously there's a market for it, or it wouldn't exist. can you explain to me, let me use my brother as an example. He'll call me on the phone and say, hey, did you hear about this kid from Tuscaloosa that the Gators stole from Alabama? It's like, the kid's in high school, you know? Let's wait until he plays and see how he does. Explain to me the mindset. Recruiting is almost a sport in and of itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, we're fascinated with the concept of what's next and the hope of next year, particularly in college sports because there's so much turnover, right? It's always the next big thing. And we see this in basketball all the time around here in our area. But it happens more so now, like you're saying, in football or in the SEC teams in particular. Oh, well, you got me this year, but look, we got this kid from, like you just said, we stole this kid from Alabama at the last minute. That on itself is a sport. And what's interesting about that now is next year Alabama is going to start Florida State's backup quarterback. Try to wrap your brain around that. The kid, Jacob Cooker, transferred and is going to start for them next year. So you never know with some of this stuff how it's going to pan out and who you're really signing. But you're right. It's really become, in terms of there is no off season and you have to fill that void, particularly in college, it has become, you know, following recruiting and pinning your hopes on next year. Just wait till next year.
And, Jimmy, we just had National Signing Day for football, and the very next weekend there are new recruits coming in for the next signing class. So, indeed, there is no off season for recruiting, correct?
Oh, that's true. I agree with Joe. It's just going to be everybody's watching the next recruiting class, and can we get a head start on next year? We missed the guy we were looking for this year, and so how many five-star recruits are in our class, and how many, you know, how do we rank in the nation as recruiting class? Are we number one? Are we number 10? And if we're number 10 in the nation, does that mean we're going to be the 10th ranked team in the nation 2 years from now? Everybody just trying to get that leg up on the rival.
I remember when I worked with Steve Spurrier for a while at the University of Florida, and he would, beat Georgia. And he'd say, well, I don't know what happened to all those five-star recruits they had, you know. And it was even then, it was like, you know, it's not how they played in high school, though that is a predictor. It's how they play in college.
Well, and see, Kentucky's getting that backlash right now. You know, Cal did the one-and-dones for a couple of years and did so well with them. And then now the one-and-dones are two-and-dones and three-and-dones, and it just didn't pan out sometimes like they thought it was going to. And then you catch a lot of flack because you built up that expectation.
And Joe, we've mentioned a couple of times the one-and-done phenomenon in basketball. How has that changed recruiting? Because now you're on almost a yearly cycle with some of these kids.
Yeah, not only the one-and-dones, but the graduation rule, which allows players to leave, in some cases, after 3 years and then not have to sit out and play. There's just so much transition in college basketball right now, and the NCAA has found that 40% of all incoming freshmen finish their career at a different team. It's really unbelievable right now. And then that's just the transfer, as you said, a one and done. While Kentucky wins a national title, even going back to Syracuse in 2003 with Carmelo Anthony, really the first one and done guy to win a title.
And we'll return to our discussion of recruiting in college sports right after this.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about recruiting in college sports. Our guests are Coach Jimmy Adams and Joe Giglio of the News and Observer. Coach, let's start with you on this segment. When you're recruiting kids to a place, but you're also recruiting against other people. And we've heard stories of, you don't want to go to that program because that coach is about to go to the NFL, or you don't want to go to that program because that coach is sick and might not come back next year. So what are some of the things that, that you've heard that really should not happen in recruiting but do?
Well, I always avoided that negativity trap, you know, going into a school or a home and try to bash the other team. I feel like if you've got a product that you're proud of and you've got something that you're trying to sell, deal with the positives of your program. And, you know, you can even be complimentary of the opposing program and say, well, they've had some success in the past. Of course, you know, everybody has their ups and downs, and still be positive and try not to get into the negative. I think the negative paints a bad picture on you. And a lot of people are turned off when you start bashing other people just to get your point across. So I always dealt in the positive myself.
Joe, what have you heard along those lines, or what have you encountered? If you don't want to call names and names of programs, that's fine. But issues that are really border on unethical in the recruiting process.
Oh, yeah, I mean, let's not be naive. I mean, there's in recruiting, there's not only is there, you know, talking bad about the school that's also recruiting you, but there's also money being changed hands at certain levels. And, you know, it's a dirty business for sure, but it's a big business. So, you know, and it doesn't happen with every recruit, but it certainly happens a lot more than anybody would like to see it happen. And, you know, it's just one of those things. As long as there's going to be big money at the end of the rainbow for the schools and the coaches, you know, then the pursuit of the talent that actually gets them there, you know, that's going to be a winner-takes-all kind of attitude, where, you know, the roles might not exactly be as important as you might want them to be.
And, Jimmy, we've seen it, you know, time and again, that you get that five-star recruit who turns out not to be a great kid as far as character is concerned, and that does your program more harm than good. How do you avoid getting the wrong kid?
Well, that happens so much, and you get the impossible kid, and you have to either eliminate him from your program, or he leaves the program, or there's some incident while he's in your program that really puts a black light on your whole group. And so I don't know how you avoid that if you're going to go after the best players, because some of them really have quirky personalities. I think you have to decide if you can handle this kid and you can deal with his problems and his family and his group, and if you think you can, then you take a chance. And if you really don't think you're up to that task, then you go on to the next guy and let somebody else have those problems. But you recruit problems, and then you have to deal with them.
Joe, I think it's kind of like a marriage. You know, when you marry somebody, you marry into the family, as Jimmy mentioned. It's not just the kid. It's the family, it's the friends, it's the influences, and now you have to manage all that.
Yeah, you got to do your homework. And as Jimmy was saying, you used to be able to spend more time with recruits in their high school and their family. There's so many more influences now, especially on the basketball side. Everybody kind of wants to have their hand in the pot. And, you know, it's difficult. It's really difficult. But I think most of the coaches around here, they all are trying to recruit kids who not only are going to be good for them, but also, you know, people that they believe will be good good people.
Jimmy, we have only about 20 seconds left. You can see if a kid's a five-star, a four-star, a three-star. How do you see what that kid's character is?
Well, I think you have to observe him on tape and on court and what he does in really pressure situations, how he deals with the referees and the fans. And, you know, you can tell if a kid has that explosive personality. So.
And you have to watch out for those.
And yes, that, you have to watch for those. You're going to deal with them.
That's right. And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guests, Jimmy Adams and Joe Giglio. Thanks also to producer Justin Blankenship and engineer Gary Kirk. Thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall of the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a production of UNC's College of Journalism and Mass Communication.